You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Welcome to, or better yet, welcome back to RBLR Lightning. I am Matt Gannon, not your usual host. Jake isn't with us, but we have a returning friend, Joe Gilligan-Zamataro. Welcome back, my friend. You've had an interesting last couple of weeks. How have you been?
I've been doing pretty well. For a second with your introduction, I thought you were going to put a question mark at the end of that. I'm Matt Gannon? doing pretty well. I would say glad to be back, glad to be with you, which I was still in seemingly permanent vacation mode, but doing all right, man.
Well, it's good to see you. Good to have you back. We could spend this whole entire show talking about your trip, but that's not what we're here for. News has been a little bit slow. Of course, it is kind of not even the heart of the offseason yet, but many of us Bolts fans may rejoice. I guess we'll get the big fish out of the way that Jeff Blashill, no longer behind the bench with the Lightning, he took the Blackhawks head coaching job. I know some of us, myself included, are a little excited about this information. Not everyone was the biggest fan of him as one of the bench bosses. But Joe, how are you feeling about this move?
It's one of those things that last year, I think there wasn't a single person that wasn't super vocal about, more or less just disliking the system of the way the team was performing defensively. After a full year using his defensive system, less emphasis, I think, was placed on that being the issue with the Bolts. However, I am all for seeing a change because there are so many things that just haven't been working. There might be one or two other coaches I wouldn't mind getting switched up, but good to see him go because at least that opens up some opportunities to shake things up without making a major shakeup in terms of personnel on the ice and, more specifically a head coach.
This opens up, like you're saying, some new possibilities without changing up a whole lot. Like, the coaches are always the biggest and easiest scapegoats if a team isn't exactly playing the best of their abilities. And we saw a rapid change when he did come behind the bench. Again, players playing a new style of defense that they've never played before or played very seldom. And a lot of players couldn't adapt to it. Like Victor Hedman, his defensive numbers kind of took a deep toll when he came behind the bench, and nobody's really looked great ever since he did take that job. And I'm not saying it's entirely on Jeff Blashill's fault. The players are getting older. It's hard to keep up in a very fast, modern-paced NHL, but still, like, you can attribute a lot of the defensive woes to the style that he did employ.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw a lot of players take steps backwards, Perbix being one of those guys that, you'd think that he's just screwing everything up, but maybe he was just in his head too much trying to figure out something completely new. I agree, with Hedman in terms of a couple of things, but I also thought that he made, the best of his offensive opportunities. I think really just the fact that we got McDonough back throughout the, to have him for this season kind of hid the defensive woes in a way that, allowed us to complain about a few other things instead.
Is there anybody that you have, like, an idea you might want to replace? Like, obviously the first thing my mind goes to is if you could get maybe Derek Lalonde back behind the bench. Like, he seemed to be almost like a defensive mastermind, paired with John Cooper, being the main mastermind. But at the same time, do you want to recycle old coaches, like, to come back to that same position?
I mean, that's the whole thing, right? If you recycle, you're typically not advancing in terms of – all right, so what Blashill was doing was trying to employ a defensive scheme that worked really, really, really well for the Vegas Golden Knights. It basically was the a way to kind of collapse and then have you know, players in a real specific spot rather than play man on. You're kind of in a zone collapsing defense and then utilizing speed to get out to players that were a threat, and then hopefully it also allowed fast 2-on-1 breakouts. We didn't see too many of those happen throughout the season, but it was a newer style system, just one that didn't seem to work out too well. Going back to Lalonde, I mean, the part of me thinks, oh, that's where we found success. Let's go for it. Let's do it. But the other part of me thinks that you have to constantly be pushing and moving forward. And we do have some really creative minds on the team in terms of players. So going back to something, I mean, that's kind of a gamble, right? Either way, I suppose, if you try something new or if you revert. But I don't think that Lalonde will end up being the answer for this team.
Yeah, he might not want to take another, associate coach job either. Like, once you taste, you know, the sweet taste of being a head coach, you don't got to work those crappy hours, and you know, you get a nice pay bump too. You know, it's hard being an associate or assistant coach, whatever his position mm-hmm. might be. I know there's a slight difference between the two, but he might not want to do it again. He might wait for another NHL head coaching job.
Yeah, and it should be also reinforced that the type of coach that we have with Cooper, he's really a player's coach. He's mm-hmm. a personality and personnel manager. He brings in people that are able to do the X's and O's for him and set, you know, delegates those responsibilities to his other coaches rather than being the man himself that comes up with those schemes. It's a great way to have experts in basically every department educating your guys while you oversee the big picture. So it is going to be really critical. Whoever he brings in is going to be relied on very heavily for the way this team is structured moving forward.
And you did mention as well, too, like, you wouldn't be opposed to, you know, some other minor changes, some other associates might leave. Like, I know Jeff Halpern has been a name that's been thrown around for a couple of years now for head coaching jobs. I remember he was the runner-up in the Washington Capitals head coaching search, and it seems like they got their guy in, what's his name?
I think he even may have interviewed for the Blackhawks position as well that Blashill ended up getting.
He may have. He has been, you know, in the running for a number of teams for a couple of years now. Is he a guy that you might, you know, be talking about? You'd be okay with leaving?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely Halpern. I've loved him since the days where he was an actual Bolt as a player skating. But the fact of the matter is that our power play has become pretty predictable. And realistically, what you need to do in order to stifle it is known. It's just really hard to do on a night in, night out basis. Come playoff time, you put all of your resources and all of your energy into just smothering the guys. And because it's not a dynamic power play, there's not both player and puck movement. You just smother the guy with the puck and then get a quick clear. And that was exactly what Florida was doing. It's what we've seen in the past when our power play wasn't successful. Our guys just get smothered. So bringing in someone that can give a little bit more of a dynamic look, maybe a little bit more movement, I think wouldn't be a bad thing. And maybe Halpern can still actually do that.
That is true. That is a good point that I haven't really thought about. I've been very tuned out with everything too, and I kind of have forgot about how anemic the power play was against the Panthers. Like, that was honestly their undoing, was how bad the power play was. And again, you know, at the end of the day, it falls on the players, not the coaches, but Florida did a very good job of stifling everything that we could, you know, put at them.
Yeah, I mean, it does fall on the players, not the coaches, because you want to make sure that they execute properly. But also, when you've got a very specific structure that you're doing, they're supposed to play within the structure in order to make sure everyone's on the same page. And you know, they're doing that throughout this year. We've had several droughts. You know, we had a amazingly good power play when it was working, an amazingly bad power play when it wasn't. There was no like in between. We were just kind of like mediocre. It'd be mm-hmm. scoring every, you know, fourth power play or going like 12 without one. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, they did try in a different look where they had Cooch on the left side, but really losing help me out with the guy that we acquired, Borgstrand.
Oh, yeah. That hurt.
Completely made it so that a Cooch on the right side power play was just ineffective. And that's what they kept trying more and more, more than the left side. And, you know, like I said, maybe not a different coach, but certainly they need to take this offseason to figure out some different looks. And then, you know, I don't know that it happens too often, but allow maybe Cooch to do some consulting in terms of what he'd be comfortable with and utilize best in order to get something that works.
I'm sure they do probably work with him at some capacity, but yeah, at the end of the day, you know, coach says what coach says. I wonder if maybe a 5-forward power play would ever be considered in the future. Like we saw Cooper employing, or, you know, whoever employing, you know, the righties and then the lefties. It was never really power play 1 or 2 at some points in the season, but a lot more teams seem to be, employing the 5-forward power play. I wonder if that's something that we might see in the future.
I mean, maybe for PP2, but we've got one of the best point producing defensemen in the league still. You know, certainly a top 10 guy where it comes mm-hmm. to on D. So I still think, you know, keeping Hedman back there.
That is true. The two teams that I did have in mind were Toronto, who doesn't really have a number one power play specialist guy like Morgan Rielly isn't that guy anymore. And then same thing with the LA Kings. They were doing it in the playoffs as well. And Drew Doughty just isn't that guy anymore either. So that, I guess it is what it is. Have we, me and you, Joe, have we spoken since the playoffs have been over? I know you did one show underway, but is there any, you know, closing comments, anything, you know, you want to say for the eulogy that we didn't have?
Before we do that, there was a comment through.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, Beverly says, I think Coop needs to be able to go in 100 different directions between Lightning and Olympics. He has to be totally comfortable. That is a good point. I did kind of forget that, you know, he is the Olympic coach as well. So he has a lot of people working with him and under him, above him even. So
it's a great,
does get pretty tricky.
It's a great point, though, because that gives him exposure to a lot more people, gives him exposure to a lot of different, like, thoughts, right? You're going to have meetings, meldings of the minds with those teams too. So he can take some of those lessons, some of those ideas, and maybe apply it to the Lightning. You know, certainly being able to coach or coach with some people can open up doors and recommendations too. So that's a really good point. And there's a whole bunch of names that I wouldn't even be the first, you know, wouldn't have the first clue who they are, who might be like a secret weapon that come out of it.
Good point. So still, is there anything you might want to get off your chest? Like, I know me and Jacob had our time to grieve a bit, but
yeah, I got a couple of things for you. The first one I'm going to put out there because Jake's not here. So I'm not going to say it's in his presence, but I saw a couple of clips now and you know, especially hearing from Cooper. Am I starting to like Marchand?
Oh,
like,
boy.
He's hilarious. All the stuff that he does is just so, like, the waiting before getting off the ice and then, you know, shooting pucks at him and stuff. Like, I mean, if you get past the fact that he's an absolute idiot, maybe that's actually what's endearing, right? So, I mean, he's tried hurting people. He's done some really ratty stuff. But, you know, like, licking Callahan was just, you know. But when you think about it, it's kind of funny, you know, a decade later to think about. So, and him not being on Boston kind of helps. But he also went to another team that, you know, it isn't much better. So
it was a lateral move for me.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, I've been struggling with that because watching his antics when it's not involving the Lightning as much has just been hilarious because, you know, we don't have anything in the game on this one. And then, like, the Panthers, would they just, like, slow play their way into the playoffs and sandbag everybody? Because, holy smokes, when they turn it on, they're just – they get all the puck luck in the world. They've got – it seems like they've got, an extra gear that no one else has. And, you know, they've played well in the regular season, but not like they're playing in these playoffs. They're just – the dominance is amazing. And – I was really hoping for, you know, maybe Dallas to beat Edmonton, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. So it kind of would lock it in to be like a Southern team to win the mm-hmm. cup. And then for the Panthers to lose it all. that'd be nice just to be like, hey, it's hard to repeat guys, but I don't see a chink in their armor. I think they're gonna kind of go all the way, and that's tough to watch. But also, because the Lightning played them, if that's the benchmark, the Bolts were a long way off from being able to compete with this team, and it, maybe it was the amount of compete that they had in their actual game, or maybe they just, you know, some of the personnel are going a little bit slow, right? Getting a little bit older, they looked so much faster than the Lightning, and it was kind of a wake up call to the point that, you know, I know we shut it down for everyone, you know, our whole crew kind of shut it down for a week or two, and I just never rejoined back in. But yeah, that was really painful to watch.
It's been an extremely tough pill to swallow, like trying to admit to myself and then to everybody else here, like how good of a team that the Panthers actually are. Like, I dislike them very much, but at the same time, I think I can, you know, sit here and, you know, wholeheartedly say they are a damn good team, and they manhandled the Lightning. You know, the Leafs did, you know, take them to seven games, but boy, like they've kind of taken the mantle. Yeah, it was a big.
I like it better. Saying that.
But you know, they've kind of done what the Lightning have said. You know, what we have said the Lightning need to do for the last 5 years. You know, just get into the playoffs and see what happens. That's what they've really done the last 3 years, and they've gone to the finals.
They coasted into the playoffs and then just turned it on. And the Lightning looked like they didn't turn it on at all once it. Once the games came.
No, they completely flip-flopped. How are you feeling about the state of the team after everything? The Lightning.
That's kind of what I was saying about the playoffs is I thought that they made the right moves. I really was hopeful that the deadline moves, and you can even replay some of the shows and see, you know, like, oh, I'm not too worried about, you know, the matchup between the Panthers versus Toronto. I think the Panthers would be a little bit harder, but, you know, still completely doable, especially given the way the last few games, went against them. But reevaluating it, man, it just, we need another top six guy that is a stunner, and we need our bottom six. I think our bottom six could work out, but they need to produce as well. I was saying we didn't need defense, and maybe we still don't, but it just wasn't working at all. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm at kind of a loss because I thought that this was a pretty good team that was going into the playoffs, and, you know, they just got completely one-upped in every aspect of the game.
Part of me wants to say, like, we were close. We weren't the better team by any means. You know, luck of the draw. You got the defending Stanley Cup champions who are now en route to their third straight Stanley Cup final. But at the same time, too, it's like, man, you couldn't even get six games out of them. Like, there were a couple of beatdowns. Like, you looked, you know, disheveled. Like, the game was over with 10 minutes left in game five, and it was just depressing for that 10 minutes of hockey, and you died with a whimper.
I will say that, yeah, they died with a whimper. But watching the game seven with Toronto, I'm not sure at this point which fan base I dislike more. If it's Toronto or the most undeserving fan base being rewarded for the Panthers.
That's the most undeserving.
Who's more undeserving?
Vegas.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty fair. Yeah. You got a point there. All right. So
in the East,
the most undeserving fan base and just like, reading the, you know, if you subscribe to the Spit and Chicklets Instagram, reading the comments that Florida Panthers fans put on there, stuff like, especially, what was it? It was like, I don't know, talking about dirty hits and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, and like Ekblad, and it's like, well, you know, I don't know. We don't have to get that deep into it, but God, I don't like their fans either. They have no idea what they're. What they're talking about and talking with such authority.
I know. It's unfortunate that they might have bragging rights for 24 straight months.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, what I was going to say is the game seven for Toronto, like the Lightning didn't have what it took in order to beat the Panthers, really obvious. But for Toronto to win the first two games and give their fan base actual hope, and then for the team to not even play in game seven at all. Oh my God. What an embarrassment. Wow, that was that was kind of sweet to watch too.
I know, I was cheering for the Leafs because the Panthers did get under my skin. Their fans, they got under my skin. Like, they, again, they've got their bragging rights, and their fans are loud and proud, much like Toronto fans, but they don't have anything to brag about. So I was cheering for Toronto. I genuinely was, because their fans have been through enough. Their team has been through enough. It'd be nice to maybe see them, you know, take down
the Panthers. The second round.
I think it'd be funny. Yeah, maybe make a conference finals push. I was like, oh, two games in, they're destroying the Panthers. And then, yeah, that was worse than how we went out, was how Toronto
big
went out.
Big time. Yeah.
An extreme whimper. That was just brutal. I felt bad, but at the same time, I was like, thank God I can stop pretending to be a Leafs fan. I can stop cheering for William Nylander goals. I'm just glad it's all over.
Beverly's got a good comment there.
Let's bring it up. Yeah, there's styles to go after the puck. Skill's in a factor when you're smothered in the crap after whistles. Yeah, that... You know, the Lightning used to be a team that could, you know, contend with that. But I think one of the things that I haven't really said so far is there was not a lot of grit on this this team this year. There was not a lot of people that were willing to respond to a whole lot. Like, the team would do it by committee, but there were no tough guys really left on the team like we've had in years past. And the Panthers is...
Yeah. You think it would have mattered?
Of that. It would have helped. Again, like, you've got guys like Aaron Ekblad, who aren't the, you know, biggest or toughest guys, thinking they can go around taking runs at players and get away with it, which they did. I mean, look at the guys we had in the past: Tanner Janot, Corey Perry's, Pat Maroons, Mikey Asamons. Like, you know, he was off the team this year. There was just a huge lack of toughness and grit, and guys willing to respond. Even motor mouths like Pat Maroon and Corey Perry, you know, they would chirp and give it back to you. Steven Stamkos had a level of grit to him that, and also respect to him that, you know, he wouldn't get shoved and bullied and pushed around, because that's also what it was. Five games of, or four games of, was being bullied, just straight up bullied.
Yeah, it's true, and they're doing it to every team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you give it a little bit more fight in that. And in that manner of things, they were just so much faster too. That's where, you know, maybe we could have won one more just by giving that bit of a pushback. I don't know if they had the speed in order to even give up a spot to somebody like one of those guys. I mean, Asamov, but he's not a big guy. He's just someone that's willing to be scrappy.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Have you gotten, you know, your eulogy out? Do you feel relieved? Do you have your closure?
Yeah, I think so. Mostly thanks to the series going on with, against the Leafs, because, you know, if the Leafs looked as good as they did in the first two games, but they weren't even close, and then seeing what's happening to Carolina, then, man, we must have been off the mark, and I was completely wrong in my initial assessment. I tend to try to be like a realist, right? I don't want to overestimate things, you know, call what I see as accurately as possible, even at the, you know, sometimes the expense of the excitement of a game. But God, I was so far off on this one that it's taking a breath before coming back on and doing the podcast. I think it was just long enough, and now it's more, you know, kind of back to work for the off season stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we're gonna have a long off season. I'm so not used to. Still not used to this. I'm used to, you know, like the 2.5 month turnaround, and we're back in. I'm used to the long playoffs, but the changes don't stop there either. You know, moving on to the next topic. You know, despite Jeff Blashill leaving, we also have another departure in Matthew Darche. He was the AGM. He was Julien Brisebois' right hand man. He was what Julien Brisebois was to Steve Yzerman for a bit, and he has been a guy just like. What's his name? Jeff Halpern. His name has been out for years now for taking a potential GM job, and he finally did get the opportunity. A bit shocking to me, but he's now taking the GM job with the New York Islanders, which he's been the biggest name out there for quite some time. Maybe Eric Tolsky in Carolina, but, you know, he was the successor to his former position. So, yeah, Matthew Darche, now a New York Islanders GM. How do you feel about that, Joe?
The Islanders have been one of those franchises that, you know, they keep losing to the Lightning and when it comes to the playoffs, but for a long time they've just had GMs that I always have questioned kind of the stuff that's gone on there, and maybe they'll get a little bit more success with With Darsh going over. I don't hate the Islanders. You know, I think that's good to have at least one New York team keeping the fan base interesting. Maybe we can make work some deals and, you know, have a good relationship with them as well. I don't know what sort of assets they have, but maybe they will be able to take on a salary or two dump for us just as a thank you.
I was hoping that maybe, you know, we might be able to strike a deal, you know, with the relationship Julian and Matthew have. Maybe find a home for Isaac Howard somewhere, and we don't get, you know, just a second round pick if he decides.
I love
to,
that.
That's my thought. You know, it might not be, you know, a world beating deal, but right now we have zero leverage. The best we can get out of this situation if he doesn't sign with us is a second round pick. Maybe you get a late first for it or something. So that's maybe this is very, very wishful thinking, but that was the first thing my mind went to is now you've got another connection in the league, and that could work for future trades or signings, whatever it might be. You've got a new connection in the league.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I like that, because that would be a completely different. It's a good thought. I had to think about what sort of assets that they have that the Lightning could use, and probably end up being draft picks, which I do believe that they have most of theirs. But I haven't looked at the pools in a while, but yeah, I like that. I like that thought quite a bit. And you know, it's JBB will be fine. It's one of those things that you typically do train them to end up taking over a GM spot. So this is fairly common. I don't think it'll make too big of an impact. I know that there's a lot of people that were within the organization or working at the rink that liked him quite a bit. You know, he was the second best number 21 we ever had on the team. So, you know, kind of sad to see him go. But yeah, best of luck, man.
Well, cool. So I guess the theme of today's episode is changes. There's been a lot of change. And, you know, right now I'm thinking both of us, we might smell a little bit. We need to change our clothes. And I've got a good spot where you could get a nice change of clothes. And that would be shop.rblrsports.com. Use code BOLTS for 10% off. It wasn't as smooth of a transition as Jake normally gets, but we're trying. I can't be as perfect as Jake. But it's not just the Lightning. It's the Bucks, it's the Rays, it's the Rowdies, it's the Sun. It's about every Tampa Bay sports property themed shirt that you could get. Please go check out the shop. Oh, sorry. Morgan's even excited about it. She's flopping everywhere. But use code BOLTS for 10% off for the Lightning shop. Joe, there's one more piece of news on the agenda for today. We made a minor signing a few days ago, and I'm going to try my best not to butcher this name. But the Lightning signed. Oh, no, I lost it.
Oh, okay, geez, you want to go off of memory?
Wojciech,
I have it pulled up.
Wojciech Staciuk.
Was like, oh, that is so close to. Oh, I think you pronounced it exactly the way that it would be spelled. Here, I'll just copy it over for you to see here.
My Polish is very rusty, and by rusty, I mean non-existent.
So I think, yeah, you're right. It'd be like Wojciech Staciuk. Statoviak.
Better than me.
Statoviak. I like the way that sounds. And he's got I guess he's half German, half Polish.
Okay, that's a very Polish name, but I believe he was playing in the German league, the DEL, this past season as well. I don't have his. I had his stats in front of me, and it went away. So it's a minor league signing. You know, he's not the youngest guy in the world. I think he's 25, 26 maybe. I can't imagine.
I cannot wait. As we talked, I cannot wait for Jake to have to pronounce this one.
It might just end up being redacted or something. We might never say that. He's going to avoid everything he can do to say
technical problems comes up on the screen.
Watch this guy become like the next, you know, big thing for the Lightning, and Jake's got to say it every single time. So that'd be great. I wouldn't, you know, get your hopes up. I think this guy is probably going to be maybe a minor leaguer unless he really does turn some heads down in Syracuse, but it's a name that you might not have to remember, but it'll definitely be hard to forget. Wojciech Staciuk. It's getting fun to say. I don't think I have anything else on my agenda here, Joe. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest? So again, it's been a little while since you've been back. Is there anything? Or
I made my embarrassing admission. Kind of talked about the Lightning's finale. I think that just about does it. Good to be back on, though.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone who's joined in the chat. Be sure to follow us on all our socials, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, everything it might be. Everything helps us out, all the individual RBLR, you know, specific or the RBLR sports in general. But thank you guys for joining us. As always, we'll be back next week with some more off-season content. Hopefully, maybe the full trio will be back next week, but we can't make any promises. But thank you guys for joining us once again. I'm Matt. That's Joe. That'll do it.
Go Bolts.
Go Bolts, baby.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.